Precious Lord, send us the light of your Holy Spirit, that he may be our guide and our teacher through Christ our Lord. Amen. There are many, many names that our Lord Jesus has been given, but the title or name or metaphor of shepherd is a very, very strong one. And this morning, we're going to learn from what he actually wants us to experience and to know. I give them eternal life. Why am I howling? Hello? Is that it? That ring it? Hello? Do you want to use my lapel? Shut me down. Church warden, come on, get on with it. It's feeding back, but don't worry, we shall have to cope with it. After all, this is Kakela anyway. Can anything good come out of Kakela? Eh? I beg your pardon, Vicar? Did I say anything that's not true? But anyway, Margaret and I had been married 3 weeks, and on my way to the court, I was stopped by Amin's men, taken to a terrible place called Naguru, where a lot of people are being tortured and beaten. And it came to my turn, and I remember vividly, suddenly out of nowhere, a light, a very bright light, coming through a very tiny window, because this place is where they kept police dogs, not human beings, so the rooms were very tiny, and there were no real windows, but a bright light came through. And then suddenly I remembered what I had learned when I gave my life to Christ. Colossians chapter 3. Your life is hid with Christ in God. And I knew from that moment that I actually was doubly secure in Christ and in God. No matter what they did to me, they were not going to get hold of me because I'm absolutely safe in Christ. He gives them eternal life, he says, and no one can ever snatch them out of his hand because, did you know, a Christian is the Father's gift to Jesus. We tend to think often in the other way around. Christ is our greatest possession, the greatest truth, the greatest reality. But in John's gospel, those whom you have given me, each one of you who put your faith in Jesus, you are the Father's gift to Christ. A precious gift. And therefore can never be snatched. And therefore can never be taken out of the Father's hand. You are absolutely safe. And you may go through a lot of pain, a lot of troubles, like I've gone through from all kinds of different operations. If you remember, some of you from 2013, I mean, I've had 5 major operations. My quarrel with God was not that I shouldn't suffer or shouldn't have trouble. My real quarrel was, why don't you spread it out more evenly? I don't mind having prostate cancer and having an operation. I don't mind having my appendix taken out. I don't mind suffering from salmonella poisoning and nearly dying. I don't mind any of that, but it isn't fair. Share it out a bit more. But of course, I can talk like that to God because he's my loving Father. I can have that kind of conversation because I'm saving him. Jesus, who died on the cross for me, has actually brought new life to me, and I will never, never perish. Did you hear those words? My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Happy are we who have received the character of sheep, because most of us tend to meander away. I mean, you ask a shepherd. Sheep have a tendency, either they go into a group or one meanders away. Nevertheless, we prove ourselves to be chosen of God. In the hand of Jesus, in the Father's grasp, we are eternally secure. If in my Father's love I share this relationship with Jesus, He will send down the Holy Spirit like a dove and rest upon my heart. And this, friends, is what the gospel is about today. Have you heard the voice of Jesus? Have you opened your heart to Him? If you have, He has given you the very life we see in Him. The very life we see after His resurrection, able to pass through closed doors, able to comfort the two men who went to the road to Emmaus with many, many, many questions. Yeah, they went there with a lot of questions, a lot of question marks around their heads. Friends, they see Him in the breaking of the bread, they recognize Him, and they leave Emmaus no longer with question marks, but with a lot of exclamation marks. We've seen Him! He's alive! Behind closed doors, He comes in the midst of the disciples. Peace be with you. Then were they glad when they saw the Lord. Thomas, who really wanted to know, unless I touch Him and unless I see, I will never believe. Then of course Jesus appears. Do you know what is interesting in that account? Thomas doesn't do the touching he'd been wanting to do. He sees Jesus and immediately recognizes who He is, and he says, "My Lord and my God." Oh, I thank Thomas for asking questions. Because after the resurrection, he is the only one who says, "My Lord and my God." Of course, Magdalene said, "My Lord, my teacher." But it is Thomas who actually says, "My Lord and my God." I give them eternal life, and no one can ever snatch them out of my hand. What do we make of the reading from the Acts of the Apostles, the raising of Dorcas Tabitha? Is that power of God still around? Can it happen in our midst? Dare we believe that it is possible? You know, there are a lot of Christians who, what I call practical atheists, they believe the word of God, but in its practice, they doubt it and don't believe it. In my own life, not only have I seen God do things that are just unbelievable, and the greatest thing He's ever done in my life is forgiveness. You know, that's the greatest miracle. To be constantly forgiven and to know, as a loved child of God, I'm in a relationship which can never be broken. Because daily the Lord is forgiving me. The Lord is daily reconciling me. And I believe that resurrection power, which applied to Dorcas Tabitha when she was dead, when Peter knelt down and prayed, is still the same power around. It is the resurrection of Jesus. "I have given you all authority," He says, "on earth and in heaven. Go and make disciples. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And I am going to be with you till the end of time." Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. May we, when we read scriptures, not doubt what it says. Some of us love praying for people who are sick, but always we pray with some kind of unbelief. The sort of our Lord Jesus, "You know, Ash is a lovely servant of yours. If you're not busy doing something, he needs a lot of your prayers and your love. Help him," and we add on with this doubting thing, "if it is your will." My view is, if you don't know it is God's will, don't pray that prayer. Because always it's the atheistic sort of view. "If it be thy will." I remember when I was a vicar in Townsill, coming to the church because we were worshipping in a school at the time. Our church needed a lot of repair. And by God's grace, we managed to find 1.6 million and reordered it. But in 10 years, we were worshipping in a school. I was walking from the vicarage to go to the school where the service was. And I met a woman. And she says to me, she was Jamaican. She says, "Hey, I saw you in my vision last night." "Hey, pardon? You saw me in your vision?" He said, "Yes. And I am sure God will direct me here. I've been walking up and down the streets that I'm going to find you. She found me, and I said, well, we're going to worship. And we went to church. We prayed alone that morning. It was about healing. And I said, this morning, the Lord may be wanting to heal somebody. And if that's what God has put in your heart, don't just come out because you think, I must go. Then come. Who was the first to come out? Stella. And I say, oh Lord, she saw me in her vision last night. It's just not going to be right, really. But anyway, she came. And I prayed for her and I said, in the name of Jesus, you are healed. Go in peace. Then afterwards, at the end of the service, I wanted to find out what was Stella's problem. She said, I've been diagnosed with cancer. It's everywhere. And they've given me no more than four to five weeks. And I said, oh my goodness, what have I just done now? What have I just done? I said, ah, she's healed in the name of Jesus. What have I just done? The woman is going to die in 5 weeks' time. So I was having a battle with myself. 5 weeks came, Stella still arrived, goes back to hospital, and there wasn't a trace of cancer anywhere. Now I know I prayed for some people and they've died the following morning. But I've also known that I prayed for some people and they have been healed. Not me healing them, but Jesus who died and rose again, who is still around. He still does his business. So friends and saints here, St. Andrews and St. Luke's, have you given your life to Jesus? If you are, you are in his Father's hand, and no one can ever snatch you away from him. Do you believe the scriptures and don't have this practical doubting of what they say? And I'm going to give a little book to all of you who are being confirmed. Be Filled with the Spirit, written by David Watson. I'd rather a much more reduced version of his big book. He said this, the crisis of the church today is not primarily doctrinal or moral. Important as these are. Above all, the crisis of the church is powerlessness. Nothing than the power of God can save the church from spiritual death and the world from total destruction. We need more than anything else, spiritual renewal. God to bring about what we read about in the New Testament. Because Jesus, the Good Shepherd, has gathered around him people so full of his love and his spirit and his power, and he's given us the same authority to go out, make disciples, heal the sick, cast out demons, and do all the things we see him do, particularly in the Acts of the Apostles. That's what you come for here this morning, to see God at work. And then to go home full of joy, full of hope, because your life is filled with amazing, amazing life of Jesus. So my friends, we're going to be confirmed. There's a little book. It's wonderful because the only life in the Spirit are we capable of living the Christian life. There's only one person who knows how to live the Christian life, and that's Jesus. Allow him to live in you fully by the power of his love and grace and resurrection. Your life will be changed and transformed day by day, moment by moment. And you'll find it easier to tell other people about Jesus. Finally, today is Vocations Day. And when Jesus, according to Ephesians 4, ascended on high, he gave gifts. Some to be apostles, some to be pastors and teachers, some to be evangelists, some to be prophets, some to be workers of miracles, some to be administrators. Today, on this Vocations Day, what is God calling you in terms of ministry? Are you going to respond? Say, here I am. some among you to have this prophetic ministry, ministry of healing, being evangelists, administrators, apostles, teachers, in order that what? That the whole body of Christ may be built up, so that we are no longer tossed about by all kinds of winds of doctrine. You need the whole body of Jesus to be ministering in order that our faith is stronger and nothing can push it on the sides. The trouble is, yes, Ash was ordained, but he's not a one-man band. He requires all of you to be set free in the ministries that the Spirit is trying to give to everybody, so that together, collectively, under his leadership, you will all work towards building up the body of Christ, that it is actually strong and looking more like Jesus. Would it be a good thing that this morning some of you have heard and say, yeah, either. I know Jesus, but my faith is weak. I want, as one Irish young lady said to me, I want a bit of a top up. A bit of a top up. I want to be more fired up in Christ by the Spirit. I want to be given the gift to read the scriptures in such a way that I understand them, because only the Holy Spirit can help you to understand the scriptures. And I've said to people, particularly those I confirm, if you base your Christian life purely on the Bible alone, you will dry up. If you base your Christian life purely on the Holy Spirit alone, you'll blow up. Because the Holy Spirit is dynamite, dunamis. In order to grow, you need to base your life on the Scripture and the Holy Spirit. And then you'll grow up into Christ-likeness. It is not either or, because the Holy Spirit makes this book come to life. I think I've whittled on too much already, and I just want us to spend a moment of saying, I'm part of the flock of Christ, and my salvation is not complete until the whole world has bowed down to the feet of Jesus. My salvation isn't complete, because he says in John 10, there's sheep of other fold, and I want them to be part of the one flock. And until the whole world really bows down its feet to Jesus, my salvation is not complete, because I'm part of that body. So what gift is the Spirit giving you? What ministry is he calling you to? What confidence have you that nothing can ever snatch you from Christ and the Father? And if that's so, you are God's gift to Jesus, and therefore you ought to be ministering like we see Peter relationship to Dorcas, Tabitha. And by the way, today in the West Bank, the house of Simon the Tanner is still there. Unfortunately, it has not been occupied because of the occupation. But the house is still there, where Peter stayed for a very long time. So what we're reading in here are not imagined stuff. They're actually real. Will you please stand? And so we sing our next hymn as a response.